Turn with me, please, to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. And I want to encourage you this Wednesday night at 6:30 right here in our sanctuary to come and hear our children choir, fourth and fifth grade, and many of the other children's choirs will be here as well. And I would encourage you to be here. They're going to have a special musical. And it's always good to sing to people instead of empty chairs, all right? So you come and be here and support them this coming Wednesday night at 6:30 right in this sanctuary. I want to ask you a question as you find John chapter 21, verse 1 and following. What is the essence of Christianity? What is at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you were to say one phrase, what would you say to describe Christianity? Would it be, well, we like to go to church. Well, we like to gather together. Well, we like to read our Bibles. Well, we like to pray. Well, we want to support missionaries financially and through prayer. Well, we agree with the doctrinal statement. I understand all that. Those are good. Those are essential. But what's at the core? What is the root of Christianity? I want to talk to you today about the essence of Christianity. John 21. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Now that is the Sea of Galilee. And he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter, he's always the leader, right or wrong, said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we'll also come with you. They went out, got in the boat. That night they caught nothing. How many of you ever been there, done that? Anybody? Yeah, go fishing, catch nothing. You don't like to talk about it. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, children, you don't have any fish, do you? Now, you know that, I'm sure they didn't like what he said, you know. We don't have any fish. Why do you want to rub it in, you know? I thought that was funnier than you thought it was, but anyway. Children, you don't have any fish, do you? They answered, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat. You'll find a catch. So they cast. And then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. How many of you know that Jesus knows where the fish are? Anybody? Now there's a point to all this. He's trying to tell them, you need to be fishing for men. Remember when I told you that? Remember when I called you back in Matthew 4? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Yeah. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, verse 7, said to Peter, it's the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up, drew the net to the land full of large fish, 153. I've never caught three fish, much less 153. And although they were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples ventured to question him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord, Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than fishing? Do you love me more than these people? Do you love me more than all this stuff in your past? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, shepherd my sheep. He said to him the third time. Now, how many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. How many times did Jesus confront Peter? Three times. No accident there. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you don't wish to go. Now this, he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. We know, according to Tertullian, an early church father in the second and third century, that Peter was crucified in Rome. And we also know, according to Origen, another third century Christian theologian, that Peter asked to be crucified upside down because he didn't think he was worthy to die in the same way that Jesus died. Go back to verse 19. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, following them, the one who had also leaned back on the bosom of Jesus at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Peter had a hard time staying focused. You follow me. Verse 23, therefore this saying went out among the brethren that that disciple would not die. Yet Jesus didn't say to him that he would not die, but only if I want him to remain until I come to these things, if I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose, I love this phrase, that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Nobody like Jesus. Amen? Amen. Before he died, Jesus had told his disciples, now look, when I die, I'm going to rise from the dead, and when I do, go back to Galilee. He'd already told them all this before he went to the cross. So after he rose from the dead, his disciples left Jerusalem, went to Galilee, just north of Jerusalem. And most of Jesus' ministry and miracles were done there in Galilee. Most of his followers, most of his disciples came from the area of Galilee. When we go to Israel, people ask me, what's your favorite part of Israel? That's easy, Sea of Galilee. Nothing like it. So many miracles done there. So they went back. Peter says, let's go fishing. They all decided to go, and they caught nothing. Next morning, Jesus is on the shore, and he appears to them. He makes them breakfast. And after they eat breakfast, he pulls Peter aside and said, we need to talk. In a loving way, he redemptively touched him in his heart and got him right with God. And it was a beautiful confrontation. And in it, we see the essence of Christianity. First of all, we see the essence of Christianity in Jesus' penetrating question. Jesus' penetrating question. Look at verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these disciples? Do you love me more than these fish? Do you love me more than your past life? Do you love me more than anyone or anything? Now, you know, Peter was the one who spoke out and said, now listen, all these other disciples may deny you, but I'll never deny you. We read in Matthew 26, 33 through 35, Peter said to Jesus, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows, before the morning comes, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." All the disciples said the same thing also. Yet Peter and the disciples did betray Jesus. They did deny Jesus. Three times, Peter denied that he was one of Jesus' disciples. He said he didn't even know who Jesus was. And so when Jesus addresses him, he doesn't call him Peter. He calls him Simon. You know why? Peter was the name that Jesus had given to Simon. And he called him Peter because he said, "You're going to be a rock." That's what Petros, Peter, means. You're going to be a rock. And he would be. Just a few weeks later, he would preach and 3,000 people would get saved. So, don't get so down on Peter. When I look at Peter, I see myself. The times that in some way I have not fully shared with others in some way that I'm a disciple of Christ, that somehow I've denied Christ in some area of my life. Jesus is saying, "You're acting like the old Simon who didn't know me and love me instead of the Peter, the rock that I saved." I love what Jesus, how Jesus asked this important question three times. Verse 15, Jesus said to Simon, "Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "You know that I love you, Lord," he said to him, "tend my lambs." Verse 16, he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Now there's a play on words. I'll get to that in a minute. Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." I believe Jesus is asking all of us the same question today. Do you love me? See, I think that's the essence of Christianity. The essence of Christianity is not loving Bellevue Baptist Church and coming to Bellevue Baptist Church. Although we should come to church, I'm not against going to church. If going to church gets you into heaven, most of us are going to be okay, right? But that's not what it's about, primarily. Is Christianity about sharing the gospel? We need to share the gospel. But there are other things besides that. Missions, evangelism, all that's good. Having good theology, all that's good. Being in a life group, that's wonderful. Being part of the Southern Baptist Convention, that's great. Having a specific ministry here at Bellevue, worshiping the Lord, singing these songs, even preaching these sermons, all of that's great, that's good. But do you love Jesus Christ? Are you in love with Jesus? Do you think about him off and on all day? Are you just trying to miss hell and go to heaven? Is that all this is to you? "I just don't want to go to hell." Well, I don't want to go to hell either. But you know what? You can take care of all that by just loving Jesus Christ. Loving him. I mean, loving him. Let's delve into that just a little bit. Do you love Jesus? Penetrating question. Jesus is asking you right now, do you love me more than these? Did you know that you love God by loving Jesus? If you don't love Jesus, you don't love God. You love God by loving Jesus. Jesus said in John 5:23, "So that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." You love God by loving Jesus. Jesus said, "When you love me, you love God." John 14:21. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. I will love him. I will disclose myself to him. Is God disclosing himself to you? Do you love Jesus Christ? And when you reject Jesus, you reject God. 1 John 2:23. "Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also." You can't say, "Well, I love God, but I really follow him by Buddha." No, if you follow Buddha, you don't follow God. If you follow Muhammad and his teachings, you absolutely, you don't follow God. If you follow some other religion, you don't follow God. You have to love Jesus to know God. You have to. You love God. You love Jesus by God's grace. It's all of grace. You're saved by grace. You're kept by grace. You'll go to heaven by grace, and you'll love Jesus by grace. I love Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace, let's read it together. This to me is the Baptist verse right here. Here we are. Let's read it together, these two verses. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. You can only love Jesus by God's grace. And then if you love Jesus, now this is going to be a bitter pill for some of you. If you love Jesus, you'll also love people. Not as many amens. Someone has said to live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory, but to live below with saints we know, that's a different story. It's hard to love people sometimes. But if you don't love people, you don't love God. You say, where do you get that? Out of the Bible, 1 John 4, 20 and 21. If someone says, I love God, hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should also love his brother. If you love Jesus, start loving other people, even the ones that are hard to love. God puts people in our way sometimes. He lets people come into our lives that are difficult to love, and we have to pray and we have to say, God, would you please help me love this person? I don't want to hate them. I don't want to be mad at them, even though they absolutely, Lord, rub me the wrong way. Can I get a witness out there? Yeah? Don't enjoy that too much, all right? Yeah. But we got to love people, even the people that are not easy to love. They're the ones that need it the most. They're hurting people, and hurt people hurt people. So just say, you know what? You may put me out of your circle. You may not love me, but I'm going to make my circle bigger and put you back in mine, and I'm going to love you no matter what. Na, 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 boo, boo. You can't make me not love you. Don't say that, but anyway. What a penetrating question. Do you love me? That's where we see the essence of Christianity, loving Jesus. And then secondly, we also see the essence of Christianity, loving Jesus, in Peter's painful reply. Boy, he was hurting when he talked to the Lord. Look at verse 15 again. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Peter answered all three times with grief and pain. Sometimes the Lord touches our tender spot, doesn't he? That spot where we don't like to go. He doesn't do it to irritate us. He does it to heal us. I found out a long time ago that the enjoyment of sin is brief. The pain of sin is agonizing and long. It's not worth it. Whatever sin you're being tempted to succumb to, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. It can be intoxicating. But once it's over, it's not satisfying. So behold Peter's lacerated heart. Jesus was cutting him with conviction, not condemnation, but conviction. Because he had to confess three times. He's slicing his heart. And Jesus uses a different word than Peter uses when he says, I love you. Verse 15, Simon, son of John, do you agapao? It comes from agape. Do you love me with God's love? Do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo, I love you with brotherly love. I can't say, Lord, that I love you with agapao. I can't say that I love you with the love of God, but I do love you with a brotherly love. So Jesus says it again, verse 16, a second time. Simon, son of John, do you agapao me? Do you love me with agape? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. Interestingly, phileo is where you get the word Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. Phileo is that Greek word that Peter keeps using, but Jesus is trying to bring him up. But you know what Jesus does? He loves us so much that when we can't get up to him, he comes down to us. I love this about Jesus. He could have even said, okay, if you can't agapao me, if you can't love me with God's love, you're out. Hit the road. He could have easily done that, but he didn't. Jesus said in verse 17, Simon, son of John, do you love, and you know what word he used? Phileo. Jesus came to where he was. Aren't you glad that when we can't get to God, God comes to where we are? Amen? And some of you are in a bad strait right now. You're having a hard time. Look at me. Jesus will come to you and meet you where he has to take you where you need to be. You can't stay where you are, but he will lead you to where he wants you to be. Simon, son of John, do you, phileo, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? Peter knew. He came down to his level. Peter knew what had happened. Peter knew that he understood that right at that moment, he couldn't agapao him. He couldn't love him with the love of God, but he loved him with the love of a brother. Do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you. Painful. Let me just share a few applications at this point on this text. When we commit sin, God disciplines us. Now, I'm old enough to remember discipline of children. It is a lost art. And you know, when we were younger, sometimes our parents sounded like an army sergeant. But when they got older, who's the guy that I saw on that? What's the guy's name that I saw? Yeah. When you get to be a grandparent, you turn into Mr. Rogers. You're so nice and good, young man. When you were young, it was like, what are you thinking? What are you doing? What are you going on? So anyway, I thought that was funny. I'll show it to you in a video sometime. But I want to tell you something. God will discipline you. What's the root word of discipline? Disciple. It's tough discipleship. But God loves you too much to leave you in the wrong. Aren't you glad that God loves you enough that he won't let you live in sin? He won't. You start going that way, he said, no. You keep going, and nobody's told him not to practice discipline, and even with the rod, amen? I mean, God will spank you. I'm so tempted to ask, how many of you have been spanked by God? But I know all of you have, and some of you don't realize what it is, and some of you wouldn't raise your hand, and then you'd need another spanking. So I'm not even going to say anything about it. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Hebrews 12, it's for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Now, the writer of Hebrews obviously was running in a different age. We got plenty that aren't disciplined anymore. But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. It shows if God doesn't discipline you, it's because you're not a Christian. That's what he's saying. Furthermore, we have earthly fathers. We had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good so that we may share his holiness. All discipline, read this last verse with me, please. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. But sorrowful, read it with me now, yet to those who've been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. God's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you. That's what discipline does. So when we commit sin, God disciplines us. And when we confess our sin, God forgives us. Amen. I love Psalm 32, verses 3 and following. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Selah. Pause and think about that is what Selah means. I acknowledge my sin to you. My iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. You need to confess your sins to the Lord. You need to go to God and say, Father, I'm sorry. Then you'll be able to claim 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we confess our sin, God forgives our sin. And then another thing, when we humble ourselves, God exalts us. Don't exalt yourself. Don't put yourself on a pedestal. Just get little enough for God to use you and just say, God, I humble myself before you. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time. God knows when you need to be exalted. God knows when you need to be backstage. God knows when you need to be quiet. God knows when you need to be loud. He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. When you can't meet Jesus' standard of agape, agapao, Jesus will meet you at phileo. Painful reply. Lord, I can't love you with the love of God, but I do love you with brotherly love. So we see the essence of Christianity, loving Jesus. In Jesus' penetrating question, do you love me more than these? We see the essence of Christianity, loving Jesus, in Peter's painful reply, I love you with phileo love, not with agape love. And then thirdly, we see the essence of Christianity, loving Jesus, in Jesus' pastoral command. He gives three words here. So when they had finished, verse 15, breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. Say that with me, tend my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. Say it with me, shepherd my sheep. He said to them the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Say it again, tend my sheep. If you love me, love my people. You know, I've been a pastor for a while, 4 decades. You learn a few things along the way. There are a lot of people in the church who really believe that they really love God. And I believe they're trying to love God. But they've got all these relationships that are all messed up. And they've never, it's one thing to have a relationship messed up that you've tried to redeem, that you've tried to tell them, look, I'm sorry, can we make this right? It's one thing to have that, and they won't do it. That's not on you, that's on them. But some of you have bitterness in your heart towards somebody that's wronged you, or you think they've wronged you, or maybe they have wronged you. And it's age old, and you said, you know what? I'm just going to let it go. You don't need to let it go. You need to obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit and get that thing right. And you may not can reconcile, and you may not want those people back in your life. I get that. But you need to at least go to them and say, you know what? I've had a bad attitude. Would you forgive me? It may be somebody that you divorced. You say, look, that's gone. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. Why does it still bother you? You'll sleep better if you'll get right with people. Amen. You'll sleep better if you make things right with others as best you can. Jesus cares for people. Jesus cares for people. How do you care for people? Meeting their needs. I love Matthew 9:36. Seeing the people, Jesus felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus loves people. He cried. The only time we see him weeping is because Lazarus, his friend, had died. Read about it in John 11. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, that is Mary, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible, probably one of the deepest verses in the Bible. Two words, but wow. There's a lot in those two words. Jesus wept over a friend who had died. I think he also wept because death was not supposed to be, but sin made death into what it is. So the Jews were saying to him, see how he loved him. Oh, friend, Jesus cares for people and Jesus cares for you. And there's one more thing I want to give you. True Christians care for people. We just do. We take care of people. The Bible says in Romans 13, 8 and 9, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Let's say that together. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. There it is on the screen. Now let's say it. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Why? For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it's summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to commit these other sins. You're just not. Care for other people. Take care of the least of these. James 1:27, pure and lasting religion in the sight of God, our Father, means that we must care for orphans and widows in their troubles and refuse to let the world corrupt us. Amen. And we're not just supposed to take care of people with loving words. We have to have loving actions. 1 John 3:17, if anyone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, refuses to help, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let us stop just saying we love each other. Let us really show it by our actions. It's by our actions that we are living in the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before the Lord. Jesus gave a pastoral command. Feed my sheep. You love me? Tend my lambs. Take care of my people if you love me. There's a lot of people I look forward to when I get to heaven, to meeting. One of them is Augustine, technically Augustine of Hippo, 5th century Christian pastor, theologian, philosopher. He loved Jesus. Boy, you see his writings. My soul. This guy was on fire for God. I think we sometimes think that our generation is the only people, the only group of people that loves the Lord. Man, there's been a lot of people that really love the Lord. Augustine is one of them. Some people call him Augustine. We'll find out when we get to heaven, won't we? Listen to this, though. He's praying. He says, Jesus, I remember. You called, you cried. I remember that day. I love this. When you shattered my deafness. Lord, how you sparkled. Oh, Jesus, you blazed. You drove away my blindness. And then, Lord Jesus, I love this. You shed your fragrance upon me. And I drew my first breath of salvation. Who talks like that? Augustine. A man that got saved. And now, O Lord, with every breath, I breathe and I pant for you. Do you breathe for God? Do you pant for God? Are you madly in love with Jesus Christ? Do you love Jesus? That's the essence of Christianity. Not, do you know your Bible? It's great to know the Bible, but do you know the author and the one whom the Bible is all about? Do you know the one that the Bible is pointing to? Do you love Jesus Christ? Do you love him too much to continue in sin? Do you love him so much that you just have to talk about him, even to total strangers? Do you love Jesus so much that you want to emulate him, that if anything is in your life that is not of him, you would say, you know what? I don't want it. Do you love agapao Jesus more than anything else? Oh, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. Sounds like music in my ears. Sweetest name on earth. Let's sing it. Oh, how I love Jesus. Let's all stand. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Okay, that was for the altos. Let's go up. Oh, how I love Jesus. Sing it to him. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he Jesus, Mark 12, what's the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What's the second? Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's love Jesus. Amen. Give God praise today. Amen. Amen.